Thank you, women of the church, for these cookies. You did it last year. And for Mother's Day, you give a flower. But for Father's Day, you give cookies and candy. And that's much more beneficial than flowers that's going to wilt. Well, the text is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's on page 174 if you use the Bible in the pew rack, and you can follow along. I am hoping that everyone can remember the message, and especially the three words. Nobody is a nobody. But I know at our age it's hard to remember anything. I heard about a man who he and his wife were in their 80s, and they were having dinner with their friends who were in their 80s. And after the dinner, the two women left and went to the kitchen to clean up, as you gals do. And the guest, who was 84 years old, said to the host, said, "You know, my wife and I had a marvelous dinner at a new restaurant, and it was one of the best I've had for a long time." And the man said, "What's the name of the restaurant?" He said, "Oh, the name of the restaurant. What is that name of that flower that's red and can be in a long stem and that is given at Valentine's Day?" And his host said, "You mean a rose?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, that's it." So he turned to the kitchen and said, "Rose, what's the name of that restaurant we had last night?" So I know that we forget often. But did you know that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says that if we compare ourselves to others, we are without understanding? But we all do that from time to time, and God knows that. He knows that about us, that we compare. So he inspired Paul to relate the differences among us people with the differences among the various parts of our own physical body. And the conclusion of that comparison is this: every one of us is just as important, is just as valuable, is just as essential as anyone else in the church. I want you to really believe that I am not one iota more important than you. With two doctor's degrees, I am just as important as the person who's a fifth grade dropout. I am. And if that is you, stand up. No, you don't have to stand up. I want us to look at what God inspired about us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. And here it comes. Listen to it. "Just as our physical body has many different parts, it is still just one body. And so it is with the church today." That's because each one of us was baptized into one body, and the church does not have one member, but many. But just think, what if every member in my body and every member in your physical body had its own eyes, its own ears, its own mind to think, and its own mouth, as each of us has in the church? What would the different parts of our body say about itself and about the other parts? Here's what God inspired Paul to write about that. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Now I understand why Sandy's foot, Sandy my wife, why her foot would say that. After all, I bought a diamond ring for one of her hands, but I didn't even buy a plastic ring for one of her feet. So the foot didn't get any attention. So it's thinking, I am a nobody down here. Now, folks, that's having inferiority complex. And sometimes it's easy for us to have that if we compare. And in verse 16, if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body either. I'm just a nobody stuck on the side of the head. Oh yeah, we can do that. Now I also understand why the ear might say that. After all, gals, just think of all you do for your eyes. You wear colored contact lens. Some have two different colors that they've purchased, blue and green. I just hope you don't get them mixed up and put a blue one in a left eye and a green one in the right eye. And eyebrow pencil, fake eyelashes, yeah. And that masquerader that flows down your cheeks when you cry. What is that? What is that? Oh, mascara. Yeah, yeah. You have that mascara that scares. No, no, it doesn't scare. But what do you do for your ears? I'm going to tell you something. When we were in Fairfield a couple of weeks ago visiting my twin sister, my other sister said, you know, I'm sorry you have such big ears. And I said, your ears aren't that big. She said, yeah, they are. So I tell you what, we measured everybody's ears and they all measured the same. But what do you do for your ears, gals? About all you do for your ears is punch a hole in them. And younger generations punching a hole from the bottom all the way up to the top. And then you try your best to cover up your ears. And I know you've heard people say to you from time to time, oh, what beautiful big eyes you have. But how many have ever said to you, what beautiful big ears you have? So the ears can easily think, I'm a nobody, I'm just hanging around here. But verse 17, God makes it clear that if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Now, wouldn't that be odd? Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. So one big eyeball just rose down the aisle. I mean, you couldn't even serve it communion. Verse 21 says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Now, folks, that's superiority complex. It's like saying, I'm the big cheese around here and you are a nobody. Oh, the eye can say that to the hand, but it cannot mean it. Just try to put on your contact lens without your hands. Just try to put on your glasses. I tried that once, and I tried it because I thought, I don't need my hands, and I tried to get the glass, and I broke my glasses. Come here, hands, I need you. Haven't you noticed? Because also verse 21 says, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you after all. I've got the brains up here and you've got the stink down there. But what happens when you stump your toe in the darkness of the night? Doesn't that hurt? And the blood starts flowing. And there's a cold blue that's sent to the brain that says, brain, head, send something down here to stop the bleeding. And sent something down here to reduce this pain. And the head says, what? go down there. I'm not going down there anymore. It stinks down there all the time. And by the way, the feet have never come up here once to help me when I've had a headache. You know what Harvard University Medical School teaches its physicians? They teach them this. When the parts of our physical body do not cooperate and coordinate with each other, that the body then experiences dis-easements within the body. And that often triggers diseases within the body. Now, folks, we all need each other. And God knows it. Because God reminded us in verse 18 that he has arranged the members of the body, each single one of them, he has arranged them the way he wanted to arrange them, because he knows we really do need each other. And in the church, there is no ground for superiority nor inferiority complex. Nobody is a nobody, because everybody is God's somebody with gifts that God has given you. Listen, listen, because somebody else needs the service, the benefits of your personal gift or gifts. When used unselfishly, used with love, kindness, gentleness, and humility. And when you do that, you benefit others and you please God. Oh, yes. Your talents, your skills, your abilities are God's gifts to the church through you. Now, I know that some teach that God's gifts have nothing to do with talents and abilities and hobbies, but I know where that teaching started, and I know why it started that way, but it is not biblical. The gifts, the abilities, the talents go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, where God gifted Adam with skills to take care of the garden. In chapter 4, God gave Cain skills to be a grain farmer, and his brother skills to be an animal farmer, because people are going to multiply and needed grain and animals. And in chapter 4, God gave their grandchildren skills to build buildings, to make instruments and tools out of metal, and others the ability to be musical. And in Exodus chapter 31 through 36, when God was building the tabernacle, God said this and named some names. Said, I gave the gifts of the spirits to these people to work with stone and wood, and women with linen, and some to be designers and some to be craftsmen, people with many different abilities gifted by God. And it says, I gifted them with that. Everyone is gifted according to what God knows is needed. And God is always, always practical and useful. You know what? Your gifts can be as practical as being a fantastic cooker, a fantastic baker. How are you going to use that? Well, there may be a man whom you know that's an elderly man, something like I am, whose wife has died and he can't cook anything. Why not especially, why not bake a pecan pie? You may not want to take it to him, but give it to a teenager. That teenager who drives fast will get that pie to him before the thing even cools down. You may be gifted as a plumber. Why in the world should a widow in this church have to spend $60 just to get a plumber to come and look at a leak when she may have five or six brothers in this church who can do plumbing? Auto mechanics. I know of a couple of churches, personally, who once a month will have an auto clinic on their parking lot, and the women will bring their six cars, not their six, but their sick cars, and men who have the gift of auto mechanics will come and fix their cars. That's being family. You may be a fantastic fisherman or a fisherwoman. How could you ever use that for others? Oh, I know. You'd be surprised how many little boys do not have a daddy, and they would love for a man to teach them how to fish. Be aware of what's going on around you. Believe me, with that little bio sketch, I'm just one of you, linked to you, and you linked to me with God's Spirit and with his different gifts. That's all I am. When I was president of the college, I really believed I was no more important than the mechanics, and I treated them like that. Because I tell you something, no matter what kind of president I was or professor I was, if the air conditioner went out because mechanics thought they were nobody, you think students are going to sit there and listen to me when it's 120 degrees because the air's out and nobody to fix it? Nope. We are all gifted by God, so bloom where you are planted. I want to tell you a true story about Teddy Stoddard and his fourth grade teacher, Miss Thompson. Teddy came to school with wrinkled, musty, smelling clothes and was failing in every course. And his teacher, Miss Thompson, thought that he was a hopeless kid to educate and seated him in the back row. Now, she should have known better because Teddy's first grade teacher left a note that said that Teddy was her brightest student. The second grade teacher wrote that he was tops in every subject. The third grade teacher said, Teddy gets behind a lot this year because his mother has been very, very sick, and he gets hardly any help from home. It was Christmas time in the fourth grade, and it was the last class before the Christmas break, the last class when students would bring their Christmas-wrapped gifts for the teacher. And Teddy brought two gifts for Miss Thompson. Oh, they were not wrapped. He had them open in a used grocery store brown sack. The first gift was a used bottle of perfume. And the student started to snicker, and Miss Thompson caught it and said, oh, look at this, kids. And she put some on and said, doesn't this smell wonderful? The second gift was a rhinestone necklace with some of the stones missing, and she bragged about that and put it on. The bell rang, and all the students just rushed out to get home, but not Teddy. He stayed back, and he went up to Miss Thompson and said, Miss Thompson, I'm so glad you liked my gift. You know, today you smell just like my mother used to smell, and that necklace just reminded me of mother, and it looks so nice when you put it on. You see, this is my first Christmas without Mom. She died, and I miss her so much. Merry Christmas, Miss Thompson. With tears in her eyes, Miss Thompson asked God to help her to encourage Teddy, and she did the rest of the school year. Several years later, Miss Thompson got a letter. Dear Miss Thompson, I'm making the valedictorian speech at the high school commencement, and I wanted you to be the first to know. Love, Teddy started. And 4 years later, dear Miss Thompson, my class has chosen me to be their orator at the university's commencement. And I wanted you to be the first to know. Love, Teddy Stoddard. And then it came 7 years later. Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore A. Thompson, M.D. How about that? Love, Teddy. Then a couple of years later, dear Miss Thompson, I'm getting married in a few months, and I would like for you to come and sit where my parents would have sat. You see, Dad died last year. Now, folks, I know something about every one of you. There is a Teddy in each of us, because there are times when we need to be encouraged. And there's a Miss Thompson inside of each of you, because you have something which God has given for another person who needs it, and the church needs it. Everybody is God's special somebody in order to be a blessing to someone else. I want to tell you just one other thing. I was speaking up in Kalispell, Michigan, several years ago, and I was staying with an elderly couple who lived way out in the middle of a kind of a forest, and they told me they had 5 big game permits to kill big game on their property. And I said, well, how many do you use? And they said, we use all 5. I said, what in the world would you kill 5? And here's what they said. We don't eat any of it. We take it to the butcher, and we have it made up, and we give it to the poor people who would not have any meat. Now, folks, that's giftedness. It's a blessing. Everybody is God's special in order to be a blessing to someone else. So let's get out of thinking we are either inferior or superior. Let's all of us ask God to make us, to make you, to make me a blessing to somebody today. Let's sing that prayer which appears on the back side of the sing-along insert. Make me a blessing to someone today.